So a lot of people say there's signs that the end of the time of is coming, the end of the age is coming, that we are nearing the second coming of Christ. So we've been chatting about this for several weeks. Stay with us today. It's going to be interesting. Welcome. Here we are. It's Monday again, and it's All Things Apostolic on Monday. And I am your host today, and I am just delighted to be with you. We're going to have a great time. And Monday's always a great time because we have a chance to review some of the things that happened over the weekend and some of the powerful things that happened the week before. And there's a lot of things taking place that are important. And we are excited to be a part of it. So welcome to All Things Apostolic on this August the 12th. So we're glad you're with us. And we have been looking in Scripture out ahead of us. And when we look in the Bible, we find a phenomenon that is not found anywhere else in world literature. And that is that Scripture is not merely a history of the early human race, but it is a selective presentation framework in which divine purpose is revealed and is divinely woven through the whole of history, and it leads to preconceived conclusions. So history is actually the bearer of divine intent. And so the Bible is it's a uniqueness to the Bible that is not found in any other ancient or modern literature, in which it gives meaning to history. And the meaning to history is that it's moving towards a pre-concluded conclusion, that there are certain things that are going to happen, but this is where they will end up. And so it's seen prophetically. Now, to see something prophetically is not to make it where it is no choice by man. Man can still make his choice on things, but prophecy foretells, predicts, but does not demand. And so it is showing us what is going to occur at the end of time. It is fast forwarding. And so you have these, some theologians in the past have called them mountain peaks of prophecy, where prophecy will ascend to a place that's above what's going on in the world, and we'll be able to look over the years to see down at the end what the conclusion is going to be. So within this conclusion framework is revelation of a progression of God dealing with mankind. There's a revelation of final judgments in which divisions and decisions about nations and individuals are determined in their respective destinies. And so we're really talking here about eschatology. And eschatology is a construct of biblical prophetic revelation, which unfolds these realities for us. Central to this unfolding is the nation of Israel. And it is the subject that is primary in the Old Testament. The reason for this central place of Israel will be discussed here a little later, hopefully, in this discussion. But one can observe biblical eschatological statements, that is, statements about the end time, on four primary levels. And this is national, global, universal, and individual. National, global, universal, and individual. So when you talk about the Bible giving us prophecy of what's going to happen in the end time, A big part of that prophecy is prophecy of what's going to happen to nations, like the Battle of Armageddon is going to be about nations. I've mentioned at other times that in Matthew chapter 25, after Jesus Christ comes back at his second coming, that he is going to line up the nations and judge them as to their worthiness to continue to be a nation, to go into the new kingdom of God on earth. And so some nations evidently, they were actually divided between what we call goat nations and sheep nations. The Bible uses that terminology. So the goat nations will not be allowed to proceed further, but will be, our assumption is, dissolved as nations. That doesn't necessarily mean all the people will be killed, but there will be a diaspora of its own, and they no longer will have national identity. Then the sheep nations are nations which aligned with Christ and his cause and his plan. And they will be ushered into the millennial reign and will actually exist. So nations are never going away. There's never, government's never going away. But when you look out and you're looking at what we call eternity forward, there will always be government. There's government in heaven. That's the shape and form of heaven, is that there's government. It's called the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God in heaven is a family government, in which God is Father, and the sons of God, the Bible actually identifies them as that, that the sons of God will, that they carry out the business of the international and the cosmic kingdom of God. So there'll always be government, there'll always be nations, and the whole book of Revelation, which is New Testament, of course, the last book of the Bible, talks about the what happens to nations and how they are dealt with, and that there will be nations. And the Bible says there will be people from every nation and tongue in the book of Revelation that will also be in heaven. So the final battle in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 19, is again a battle of Christ and the nations that are arrayed in violent rebellion and rejection. They are arrayed against him, and he will defeat them. So the idea that that the church comes and all nations are dissolved as a result of that is a false doctrine. It's not true. And with all these nations going on to the end, it seems like pretty ridiculous to assume that the nation of Israel would not go on, being as it's the primary nation in the Old Testament. Now, we're talking here about nations that that are not like some ephemeral something out there that could be called a nation but isn't real people in real places and locations on earth. So Israel as a nation will continue. However, to be identified, we won't get into all this today, but to be identified as part of that nation is going to require something in the New Testament that was not required in the Old Testament. And just the fact that people are naturally born to Abraham will not make them part of the nation that's going to receive being the head and not the tail, receive that reward by Jesus himself. That's not going to happen to everybody that is a Jew by natural birth. They're going to have another criteria that will determine. They'll have to be Jews by birth, but they will have to, their identity will require that they are children of the promise. So all of this is stuff that somewhere down the line we hope to get to. So Scripture, in an amazing manner, wraps all of this into an incredible compressed fashion, takes all of this enormous complexity of world history and compresses it into a way that we can grasp it mentally in our minds. And the whole of the thing, the description identifies the trajectory of these forces and actors in the drama in which the age is hurling toward a culminating destiny. This is seen on a national level with God's chosen people, and the national level is then often attached to eschatological descriptions and predictions on a global level. In other words, while God is establishing Israel, he's judging them first, and then they will repent and they will accept him as Messiah, and that will bring the second coming of Jesus. But when those things are happening on a global level, nations are involved, and also geological convulsion of the natural earth will be taking place. There'll be earthquakes. There will be islands of the sea that the Bible tells us will disappear, which indicates tremors on an enormous level under the surface of the water, the floor of the ocean. The Bible predicts that in that time the stars will fall from the heaven, which we would assume it would be particles of space material that become meteors and meteorites and that crash into the earth. So all of these things, the way you determine an age, there's four, some people say three, others say four, primary ages in regards to the earth and man and everything we know. And an age is determined by the convulsion of a geological nature that is enormous. This is what identifies an age. So the last age ended with the flood of Noah. So a new age began, and that's what the Bible calls this present age. And so this present age extends from back there until the second coming of Jesus. Why is the second coming of Jesus that? Because the second coming of Jesus is attended by these enormous geological changes that will take place in the earth. In fact, when he comes back, the Bible says that when he puts sets his foot on Mount Olivet, on the Mount of Olives, that it will split probably the Kidron Valley, which is already there, but it will split in such an enormous way that it will reconfigure the geological structure of the Middle East, and that a river will flow from the Mediterranean Sea right through that split. There'll be a major river, and Jerusalem will become a riverside city, which is what all the great cities of the world, most of them, are that. And they have a major river running through them or by them. And so that river will run to the Jordan River, and the Jordan River will become massive. It will flow into the Dead Sea, and it will flow out of the Dead Sea into the Red Sea, going on down south. The southern end of the Dead Sea will go all the way out to the Red Sea. This is all major. The Bible says the river will be so big that there will be commercial fishing done in that river, which lets you know it's no small thing. So this is a major geological configuration of the earth. The islands of the sea, the meteorites, the stars falling from heaven, and numerous other physical things that happen. Now, these things can be divided into three categories. There are physical and geological upheavals at the end of time. There are social upheavals at the end of time. And there are spiritual upheavals at the end of time. So stay with us and we'll talk about those. Thank you for being with us today.